know, when the presence of God comes down because of our united worship, it's always a joy and an honor for each one to be together in the name of the Lord. My voice is like this. I just finished my 2 days after we arrived in Los Angeles, 5 o'clock in the afternoon of Wednesday, drive to San Francisco, 6 and arrive 3 o'clock in the morning. 1:30 in the afternoon, I started my teaching of 1.5 hours. The following day with 2 hours, and I found out the last day, that was Thursday, when I was teaching the group of pastors, I was running out of my voice. So anyway, I'm getting back to my voice, and thank you for this opportunity. Yeah. This morning, I would like to draw your attention to one of the beautiful topics I would like to expound to you this morning. Thank you, Pastor Jeff and the whole congregation. And as missionary in the New South Wales, last 2000, when we moved to New South Wales with my son, after founding churches here in Los Angeles and San Diego, it's a joy to see another horizon where reaching the Australians, which I learned so much in evangelism and church planting. And to be back again in your home, in my home place, feel comfortable with the same, with our people here. And so for 10 years I was able to adopt the Australian style, but it was a shock for me the first 2 years. It's not that easy to connect with Australians. It's not that easy. But now I can blend in and thank God for that opportunity. Would you bow your head with me as we pray to the Lord in prayer? Father, what a joy that we can come together and glorify you with one mind and one heart. Father, thank you for this noble opportunity that your name will be magnified, be elevated, be lifted up. Would you grace us once again? For we know without you we can do nothing. In all our ways we acknowledge you. Cover us with your precious blessings of grace and favor for your glory and honor, because you are worthy. In Jesus' name, amen. Turn with me in the book of Psalms chapter 90 this morning. Psalms chapter 90, beginning from verse 1 to verse 10 to verse 12. A very familiar verse from the mouth of King David. Here's the word of the Lord. Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place throughout all generations. Before the mountains were born, or you brought forth the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. You turn men back to dust, saying, return to dust, O sons of men. For 1,000 years in your sight are like a day that has just gone by, or like a watch in the night. You sweep men away in the sleep of death. They are like the new grass of the morning. Though in the morning it springs up new, by the evening it is dry and withered. We are consumed by your anger and terrified by your indignation. You have set your iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your presence. All our days pass away under your wrath. We finish our years with a moan. The length of our days is 70 years, or 80, if we have the strength. Yet their span is but trouble and sorrow, for they quickly pass and we fly away. Verse 12. Teach us to number our days aright, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Now this morning is a beautiful topic that we're going to expound, and there's another one I would like to read before we go to the exposition of the word. Just one particular book of Philippians chapter 1 verse 20. Just want to connect with this topic today. Here is the word of the Lord. I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. Yet, what shall I choose? I do not know. I am turned between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better, which is better by far, but it is more necessary for you that I remain in the body. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and I will continue with all of you for the progress in joy and the faith. So through my being with you again, your joy in Christ will overflow on account of me. Life's greatest purpose. We have so many names in the history, especially in our present time from the 20th century. Names of men and women. They have so much to model, to give to us, such a determination to be the people that they are today. There's a man by the name of Sir Winston Churchill. In some of the quotations of this man, you can see the intensity and the real essence of what they believe for as far as life is concerned. According to this man, Winston Churchill said, quote, "I have nothing to offer but blood, toil and tears, and sweat." And I spoken this word in May 30, 1940, in the British coalition in the World War II. John F. Kennedy, one of the quotations that we oftenly heard, and he says, ask not what the country can do for you, but ask what you can do for your country. Martin Luther King Jr., a well-known man for that spearhead this beautiful movement that he dreams something about the future. And I have a dream, according to this man. I may not get there with you, but I want you to know that we as a people will get to that place or to that promised land. Mother Teresa, who received a beautiful Nobel Prize speech in 1979, love begins at home. And she said, by blood, I am an Albanian. By citizenship, I am an Indian. By faith, I am a Catholic nun. As to my calling, I belong to the world. As to my heart, I belong entirely to the heart of Jesus. What a beautiful picture of what is really inside of that beautiful woman of faith. Nelson Mandela, I have cherished the ideal of a democratic and free society in which all persons live together in harmony with equal opportunities. It is an ideal, according to him, which I hope to live for and see realized. But my Lord, if needs be, it is an ideal for which I am willing or am ready or am prepared to die. Now, this great man and woman of honor revealed the very reasons of their existence in life. And each one of them fulfilled their dreams and ended their life with worth and with meaning. I propose to you this morning, to each one of us, to you, all of you saints of God, to shape your life with a purposeful mission to see the meaningful end. Start to visualize your dream destiny, then begin to act now to invest your life in my life, your future or my future, my everything to a wonderful end. It's a reality of life in Jesus Christ. Now, there is a man that we all know in almost half of the New Testament, were written by this man by the name of Apostle Paul. Now in his life, he got a tunnel vision, one direction, and that is for the advancement of the kingdom of God, that the gospel will not be changed, that the good news must be proclaimed throughout the world. His conviction of this man and determination in the issues that we can see in the heart of this man of God is all revolved in the person of Jesus Christ. And he says, I will in no way be ashamed. Even he was inside the prison or out of prison, he was chained hand and foot. But his focus and purpose in life, we can see, physically he was inside the jail, but the word of God according to him was not chained. And according to this man of God, whether he was inside the prison or his body is in excruciating pain, he will exalt the Lord. I will magnify the Lord Jesus Christ. For me, according to this man, to live is Christ and to die is gain. And for him, even death, the cessation of life, is still a prophet when it is given to something rewarding and worthwhile in the name of the Lord. Christ will be exalted in his body and in this life. Now, you can see that in this man, Paul and all these great men of the 20th century give us some real clarity about the focus of a meaningful life. So number one that we have to do as believers in the Lord, be responsible believers, especially in this time that things are changing. Be responsible believers. Now, there are some areas that we can see in the context of either Christianity or the world today. The different kinds of person that I'll be using today, the both sides of the pendulum, there are different kinds of people. Some are unresponsible person about their life. The other one is there's a personal responsibility. There are Christians who are called fair weather Christians, and there are Christians who are all weather regardless of the poor season they are there for the Lord Jesus Christ. They are on the other side of the pendulum, principle centered persons, and on the other side there are floating person. In the other side, these are people with the mission in life, and the other one has no mission and nothing at all in this life. I like this. Paul said, I press toward the mark of the high calling of God and Christ Jesus. So we can see that focus, as Paul revealed to us, he is showing something that to be a believer, there is a responsibility attached to our commitment to the Lord. I have a brother-in-law by the name of Ed Robles. This guy is not a brilliant guy. He's just a handyman. But he was talking to me about this story while he was in Saudi Arabia. And one day, he was not even a believer. But he made up his decision and he made up his mind and said, I don't want to be separated again the rest of my life for my family, because it was an awful lonely place where he was working in Saudi Arabia for many years. And he says, we will be together again, even in overseas. And he said, while talking to me in a very casual conversation, I was not a valedictorian in the high school. And I'm just an average person. My classmates are valedictorians and brilliant and bright. They're still living in my home place. But because of that determination, he was able to bring the whole family in Australia. Now, there is another man who's just not even a high school graduate. He was a member of a gang. And one day while he was working, because he was gifted in the work in the hotel, and he was also in Saudi Arabia one day, he was a gangster for many years, a mean guy who was always in the fight. But one day he said, I will bring out my family from a place of gangster in Tondo, and I'll be out of the country one day. And now these two men fulfill their dreams because they live for it. Both of them now are members of my church. They were able to see what they dreamed before, and it was realized, it was materialized. There is a course of action, and in Australia, not only they were blessed to come to Australia, they both of them become believers and are faithful elder of the church I planted in that country. And so we can see we have proactive believers, and there's we call the other one is reactive believers. And so these people, they move forward. As far as life is concerned, the very life that God has given to us, there is a continuous moving forward regardless of the opposition, regardless of the blockage or obstacle, they keep moving on. And there's a group of people we call the fair weather Christians or believers. And they are like, they're pruse during winter time and they're dried up during summer time. What does it connote about this people? These are conditional people as far as following the Lord is concerned. When everything is fine, they're there. When problems begin to arise, I am out here. And some of the reasons they blame because of the problems in their life, they blame in three factors, which is prevalent and acceptable in the world today. They blame these three things. They said, it's because why it happened to me in my life. Maybe he's an unbeliever or a believer. He was living in a life of roller coaster experience. Because number one, they said, because it's my DNA. It's the makeup from my grandfather and my grandmother to my mother. It's a DNA. If they were tight and cheap, that's what happened to me. If they were drinking and smoking and playing around with women, this has happened to me. So instead of being responsible, they throw their blame to something and it's to DNA. If they're stingy, so that's what's happened to me. If I'm stubborn, that's the bloodline. Even I'm a believer, I'm stubborn. And so there are people, they blame it not only to the DNA, but to the environment where they grow up in the family. They believe that the environment where they grow up contributes to the person that she or she is right now. In my family, they're always cursing and wine and cigarette and playing and unchastity. And they blame it. My mom is not a virgin, so am I. Who cares? And so on and so forth. And they just make this happened to me because of this, because of my family. And other factors, they blame it to the environmental influence. It's because of the government policies I adapted to. It's because of the high school laws and also the loose discipline. Now, the government permit to distribute condoms in school in America, and they become a norm. So my Christian upbringing is being suppressed because of that. And eventually, I give in and then compromise in my life. So they begin to blame all the three factors, the DNA and the place where they grow up, and then the environment or the government, whatever it is. You know what? As human being, as believers in the Lord, we have inside faculties that can say yes or no. And above, on top of this, one of the beautiful things that God has given to us, a paraclete, a comforter that lives inside of us. He will strengthen our mortal bodies. The same spirit that raised Christ from the dead is the same spirit that dwells in us. There's a potential. There's a great move of God inside of us, plus the Word of God and the Holy Spirit in the inside of you that says no to this and yes to this. You can live above your present circumstances. Now, each of us is given the power to choose whether to remain in a certain place or predicament, or to slow down, or to go up. Inside of you, inside of me, is a conscience that gives an inward information of what is right and what is wrong. When you begin to follow what is right, and especially those who are children of God, they are led by the Spirit of God, and follow the Holy Spirit of God, your behavior will be governed by God. In other words, you become obedient to Him, and there is a powerful transformation that is happening from the inside out. Don't stay under the water drowning. Begin to move your hands. Begin to move your feet. Begin to kick as hard as you can. Determine not to stay in the same place, but there's a progressive move in your life. Begin to see the potential of your life. My attitude and your attitude will dictate your decision regardless of the conditions or circumstances. Now, picture the focus of this proactive person in the book of Philippians that we have just read, chapter 3. Paul in the NIV, verse 13-14 says, "Brothers, I love this man. I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. It's still in the process. I don't have it with me. I'm still in the process. I'm moving to that direction. Obstacle, yes, but I press on. There's a human responsibility that I move on, and divine power that enabled me to equip me, He keep moving on. And He says, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. There is no end of moving forward. It's like a stream. Even the current is so strong, opposite the current. You are striving so hard to be able to pass through this strong current and be able to go farther in the opposite direction. And then NLT says, no, dear brothers and sisters, I am still not all I should be, but I am focusing, take note of the word in the NLT translation, but I am focusing all my energies on this one thing, that the energy, the faculties, the emotion, the mind, the intellect, everything that is inside of him is focused into one direction, and that is Jesus Christ. In other words, and we can apply it into our lives today, whether we are an engineer or a professor at the university or a hardware worker, whatever we do. When I was working many, many years ago in a sprinkler factory in San Diego area, I said, Lord, I work from 8 o'clock in the evening to 4 o'clock in the morning. It's owned by the German company, and I was praying, God, I work here. I want to be a blessing in this company. One day, I contacted one of the lady who is the leader of one of the departments. Can we have a very simple, and she is a believer, kind of singing while we are having lunch, 9 o'clock in the evening. Oh, sure. So we did it. And then the people were eating from different parts of Europe, different countries. They're working in that company. They were listening. The first meeting, they appreciated. And the next time I proposed, can we have a little Bible study? And God is the witness. And the working in that company, and that was 1984, 1985, somewhere 84, 85, God magnify his name. I was able, through the word of God, proclaim the good news in that factory from the Mexican, from the Czechoslovakians, and all the nationalities who were there. They heard the gospel in a very, very casual presentation, storytelling style, and they appreciate the word of God inside that German company. So whatever profession that you are in the Bible says whether you eat or you drink, let's all do it in the name of the Lord. So it's not confined to the minister. Wherever you are in the marketplace, in fact, Christianity, the expression of Christianity is not only inside the church. Christianity is 7 days a week. When you are strong in your private closet because of your relationship with God, when you get out from the prayer closet, you can see the presence of God attracting people because you become a blessing. Your life has an energy with an intent. Lord, make me a blessing to these people. Make me a blessing. So we can say, be responsible as a believer wherever we are. Now these people, like Paul, they made up their minds. They made up their minds. And they believe with all of their hearts. They internalize it. I was a security guard, founding the church of Carson after San Diego, and then Carson, and then go back to San Diego under John Maxwell, planting two churches in San Diego in year 1995 with my children. And I was working as a security guard in the port of Los Angeles. My intention in the work, because I have to support my start of the ministry, Lord, I am here with the thousands of drivers. Oh God, because I have to make the traffic inside the port of Los Angeles, the bobtail and long trucks, and meeting many Mexican drivers. My intentions, Lord, help me that I can communicate to you through friendship and talking about you when the door is open. In the big hardware, in a big place in the port of Los Angeles, just like a security guard looking for all these precious items, talking to the forklift operators and testifying about the Lord. One night, Chief Shadrach, who is in charge of all this security officer, and I was just standing there. Look at that echo. There's a ex-Navy who was a friend of mine. What happened to Echo? He's talking about Jesus again. Yeah, he's always talking. Anyway, he's not so busy. So every day I talk about Jesus. And hi, hi. And then Shadrach said, Echo, He called me Echo, that's my family name. Stop sharing about Jesus. You know, Captain Shadrach, I said this with love. You're a believer. You told me before that your dad was a faithful deacon in the church, in the Baptist church. You know? I said to him, you'll come back to the Lord. I believe in that. And you'll serve the Lord. It's okay, whatever. He just left. Because he was living in sin, and he doesn't want to hear about Jesus. And in the evening time, my work is from 11 to 7, because I have to check with the big ship and transferring the oil from the ship to the big tank. That's another work of security guard. I have my guitar and many security guards and people working in that tank farm. I was singing from 11 to 2 o'clock in the morning, worshiping the Lord. So because of that, those people heard about the Lord. I said, God, if I have done that, I have done it. I have done that to the Lord. It's all that I need. It's all that I want. Your name will be magnified. So be a responsible Christian. Make our minds and believe in our hearts, Lord, I have to do something. In other words, internalize the drive of your life, whatever it is, especially the Lord. That's the drive of our hearts. The journey and the purpose of your destiny. Make it so special to you. And Paul said, however, I consider my life worth nothing to me, if only I may finish the race and to complete the task the Lord has given me to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Look at this man. He was focused. Now, I like the word of God. Lord, teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Our life is like a shadow, like a grass, that tomorrow it's water because of the heat of the sun. I want you to just imagine today, begin with this end in mind. What motivates you in this life? What excites your life at the present time? Have you counted the cost of building up your life for the future? If you have not figured out this important question, now is the time, because time is not in our side. Time is running out, and we cannot afford any longer to waste the time. Now, people from every walks of life, from athletes to the politicians and doctors and actors and actresses, musicians and professionals, carpenters and bankers, often struggle to achieve a higher income, to become famous, to become powerful, then only to find out that their drive to achieve their goal blinded them to the things, important things that really matter most, and now are gone. What is the center of your life? Some people, the center is the family. That's fine. Security is found in the fulfilling the obligation to the family. Some of them are for the making the house meticulously clean. You know, cleaning the house is a joy to see it very, very clean. And I've seen people in Lumita when I was pastoring a church many years ago. To some is the possession centered. And to some, money centered. And to some, their spouses, they can please do it, husband and vice versa. It's all that matters to him. And to some people, they keep working, work centered. That's the meaning of their life. They keep working and working to get out from a nagging wife. No. They just keep working and working because they're comfortable to work. Paul is clear concerning the center of his life. Are you? I want you to get this beautiful analogy, illustration, story. Use your imagination this morning in this story. You're going to a funeral of a person that is close to you. He's your good friend or best friend. And as you're walking to the parking lot, going to the funeral place, and starting entering the chapel, people meet you there. And then you begin to started walking to the middle aisle, seeing the faces of these people. Some are familiar to you, some are not. Family, you can see the mourning and the sad expression of their faces. You notice the beautiful flowers on the right side and on the left side. You hear the song, a beautiful song, Amazing Grace, beautiful song, very comforting song. You hear that beautiful song, and you feel to share the sorrow of losing. Now, as you get closer to the casket in front, you suddenly come face to face with a thought in your mind. It's about yourself, that this is your funeral a year from now. All these people have come to honor you. Many express their sorrows in loss, while many are thanking you from their hearts for your life. As you sit down to the third pews, you see in your imagination five groups of people who will share their eulogy. One is your wife. Second, your children. Third, your boss. Fourth, your church family, and others whom you have helped probably while you're working as a manager, whatever your calling is. Now, what character would you like them to see in you? What is the most memorable fellowship they have experienced with you? Did you make an impact in the lives of this many people sitting there mourning? Or have you kept it all for yourself and have not extended what is supposed to be given to other people? What contributions, what achievements you want them to remember you? Think about it. It is a message with a purpose. If you can see yourself in a mirror of truth and begin to readjust the focus of your life, in the center focus of your life, you will become a wise believer in Jesus Christ. Your motivation is doing the very best to God, no matter whatever your work is. Doing the very best for people. Doing the very best to the body of believers, my church, in this place, God. It is to be rewarded by the Lord. I do my very best, anything I can do for my church. This is my family. To the world, in view of the brevity of life. 70, 80, there's some pain and many, many sickness. So, we have to realize what is going to happen in the future and start to begin to invest in this present time. I love Paul as I'm getting close, a few moments. He said, set your affection on things above, not on things on earth. Jesus said, lay not for yourself treasures on earth, but lay your treasures in heaven. For on this earth, you can see the moth and the robbers. In heaven, there's no robbers, there's no moth. And it goes on to say, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Shape your life. God has shaped your life with a purposeful mission to see a meaningful end in seeing your Maker, in hearing His beautiful word. I conclude this beautiful story. When my wife suffered, John's mom, she died, God is the witness, and from Santa Maria, she died there. And we prayed with the family, they were still young. Kids, let's pray to the Lord that your mom will come back to life. It was 220 over 165, somewhere there. it will burst your brain for that kind of. And right away, Santa Maria, we were having some kind of fellowship. He was dead. And so we didn't stop. God, thank you. She will survive. In 1992, she died. This is 1995, that's the one I'm talking. 1992, she died. And one of the nurses, about nine of them, nurses I was teaching in Los Angeles, Pastor, Sister Gladys is in bad shape. Lynn, because she was in charge of all those, the most critical unit. Lynn, directly to the point, what do you mean in bad shape? Pastor, tell me the truth. She was blue. Can you call the emergency? And 1 hour later, 11 o'clock in the evening, December 27, 1992, I said to the children, kids, I want you to pray. Don't stop. I'll pray. Donna, second floor. Joanne, master's bedroom. Little David is 11 years old. And Esther is about, oh, maybe 2 years old during the time, 2 years old. Let's pray. And ask God to spare your mom's life. And we pray. Donna, the oldest, how is the Lord speaking to you? Donna is about 13, 14 years old. Mom is going. He's dead. No, Donna. Hold your peace. Joanne, how do you feel when God, when you're praying to the Lord? Dad, I feel peace. Mom will be okay. Dave, how do you feel about, Dave was 11 years old. Dad, Mom is okay. I think Joanne asked me, Dad, how about you? I said, children, I have the peace. Your mom will be okay. 4 hours, my wife passed away. When I went back there, 1 o'clock in the morning, she was awake and said, you know what, Daddy? The doctor cannot understand. This is the findings. There's no more pulse, no more heartbeat, no more. Everything was zero. It was only pumping by the machine. 1 hour, I said, when I left the place, Donna Joanne, stay praying to the Lord, thanking Him and praising the Lord and asking, intervening. If you are so tired after 1 hour, because we have prayed 1 hour, the other hour, continue to pray. I'm going to the hospital. I was there by 12, 1 o'clock. Said, Mr. Echo, you can go and see your wife. There was no facial expression. It's like, you know, vague. Okay, thank you, doctor. When I went there, my wife was awake. He said to me, darling, yeah, I went to heaven and I see Jesus. And then said, what did you see? I cannot put into my mouth the right word. It was a beautiful place. I make it short. The temperature was excellent. The flower was so excellent. The green grass was so excellent. I forget everything about earth. And at the point he said, by the way, I heard Jesus Christ talking. Husband and wife were sitting in a big banqueting table. They were so happy. And Jesus was the MC of the ceremony of the big meeting of husband and wives in a big banqueting table. And my wife heard that this is a party for someone. And then Jesus said, this party is for Gani Echo. In that moment in time, my wife, she looked around. Gani is not here. Then she was listening to the Lord. The voice of God like water, so soothing, feeling while she was hearing. She said, the voice of God is enough for me to be refreshed. Such, she cannot explain in words. I am running out of words. All I can say is awesome. And he goes up to say, what happened? Come on, continue. And she said to me, and Jesus was saying that on that table, a big table, there were so many crowns. And he said, that those crowns, as you can see, Jesus said, how many crowns? I was curious, about 80 to 100 crowns, that, like the Miss Universe of many glittering stones and old diamonds and different kind of things, okay? And what Jesus said, those crowns are for Gani Echo. And she said to me, you know, darling, yes, I didn't even know that the Lord is. By the way, before she died, she prayed in her mind, running out of breath. No more pulse, no more breathing. Boom. He just passed out. Around 9 o'clock in the evening, she came back to life by 1. Almost 2 hours for the kids to pray, and we don't stop praying. And she said to me, I didn't even know that the Lord is a Chinese. What do you mean by Chinese? Come on, you just wake up and you're saying God is Chinese? And she said to me, she didn't smile, just, You know why I said the Lord is Chinese?
What?
Before I pass out and forget everything, and I was rising from my body, going up so beautiful place, he said, before I pass out, I can even utter the word, Lord, I don't want to die yet. Number one, I want to see the church that we're planting in Los Angeles to grow, and I want to see my little daughter, Esther, 2 years old, to grow before you take me home. Boom. What is that relation to your word that God is Chinese? And this is the reason why you can bargain with God. Now, this is the concluding thing that I'm sharing to you. God is the witness in 3 hospitals. From Santa Maria to Escondido, Palomar, transported by a helicopter after 1 month in Santa Maria, comatose for 30 days, come back to life. And then Sharp Hospital in San Diego. There are about 55 nurses to 11 to 15 doctors, some are specialists. We cannot help but open up my mouth and my wife's mouth to testify the goodness of the Lord. God can only number them. Many of them accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Even the brilliant doctor, my wife cannot even function the muscle here. We prayed. Dr. Hickman, yes, Mr. Echo, can you make a contact with the senior specialist of the pulmonary section, Dr. Tisar? Mr. Echo, it was already found that there's no more way for her to recover 100%. The muscle could not function to swallow the food. It's by tube here. I said, Dr. Tisar, he's a believer. He's a Baptist doctor. What's your plan, Mr. Echo? We're going to fast for 3 days and ask God to give her the favor again. Okay? 1 month later, went to a brilliant doctor. And, sir, could you come? One of the ambulance said, what can you see? Fine. The other one, nurse, come. Another nurse. Mr. Echo, you're the last one. Could you come? Yes, Dr. Tisar. Okay. Gladys, relax, swallow, relax, swallow, relax. Mr. Echo, what can you see? I don't know what he was expecting. All I saw was there is an opening in closing. My wife, since she studied medical doctorate and she is a dentist by profession, and she said, Dr. Tisar, yes, Gladys, do you believe in miracle? Look at you, you're a miracle. Because my wife was able to recover in it again. Orally. You know what? She said, as I conclude today, and I challenge you about life, with the disfigured face, I have never seen her. It's not to elevate her. The grace of God is sufficient. I have never seen her to say, what a life. She's always the first one to testify for, God gave her 10 more years to testify in John Maxwell Church, where I was pastoring, and I planted churches there. She's always the first one. I have testimony. Yes, Gladys. She's always thanking God that God is good. Her life revolved in Jesus Christ. Church, what a joy that our life is centered in one thing. The most important thing is to understand that we are created for God's pleasure. And the book of Revelation said, Lord, thou art worthy for all things created for your pleasure. And so this morning, the life's greatest purpose, your life and my life, our life together, are created for the purpose of the one who made the heaven and earth. And as you say, Lord, I know now everything that pertains to me, my today and my tomorrow, my children, is all yours. My life, Lord, today, nothing more, nothing less. As I give my life 35 years ago, in the altar of consecration, Lord, I will give my life into that altar. And I promise and make a covenant by God's grace, because I cannot do a promise without His help. There is no way for me to turn back. MacArthur said, I shall return, but I pray, Lord, I don't want to return. My prayer was simple. If ever I will go back to sin, going back intentionally to sin, this is my prayer. Lord Jesus, my life is all yours up to now. That's why with my age, there's an intensity to serve in Australia, move to another state and plant church and teach pastor. I said, Lord, if ever happened that I'll commit sin and going down, my prayer, simple, take me home. I don't want to commit sin, but my life is all yours, devoted to you. And may our lives devoted to the Lord, and His blessing will come. In Jesus' name, amen.